Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the second edition of the Accursed Race, brought to you by our race partners, Albion and Ride With GPS. It's day 10 and there are just two full days of riding to go before the cutoff point for finishing within general classification. Before we begin today's action, let's go back to last night in Peshkopi, where race reporter Tom Probert was waiting to see if Torsten Bronner would make the cutoff point for CP2.
So you've got here about 40 minutes before the cutoff. were you worried about that? Did you feel under pressure today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think normally I'm faster, but it takes some time. Also, go down the valley, it was slippery, and then here, the next climb, and you lose some time.
So it took a bit longer than you anticipated. Yeah.
Every day I need more time than I see on the map. But that, I'm here.
That's the main thing. Looking ahead to the finish, do you think you've got enough time to get there? Do you feel a bit under pressure now?
Yeah, first I need a room. It all is wet and I have to load something. And tomorrow I have to buy some food and then I go make the distance and find a place to sleep. I need some sleep. I can't cycle the last without sleep. Need it.
Torsten did indeed get some sleep, and this morning he's making his way along the route with hopes of reaching Skoda. However, there is one rider who did not make it to CP2 before the cut-off time. Tom is with race director Hannah Labalestier.
So last night on the tracking map, we noticed that Michael Fedora's dot had gone greyed out, which means he's stopped for a substantial amount of time. Obviously, that was normal in the sense that he was stopped overnight, but we've woken up this morning and his dot still hasn't reactivated. So what do we do in a situation like this, Hannah?
Well, we know from Michael's communications with John that his tail fin unfortunately broke last night, and it sounded like he said he was on the descent after Fuschelura. He's on quite a remote section and he said he was still moving, he was still able to ride, but moving slowly. So we knew he was okay, thankfully, because it can be quite a worry when someone doesn't move for a while on the map. And I assume that he is up there having a long bivvy and enjoying a lie-in, because now that he's no longer racing for the time cut and he doesn't feel like he's in the race anymore, he's maybe taking a bit more rest. So we're just waiting around in Peshkopi because we're like the closest access point to that point of the route, and we're just waiting to see if he reappears on the map, but also coming up with a plan to go and find him in case that doesn't happen. So I'm getting ready to maybe drive Mike out. So our photographer Mike, he's on a mountain bike and he can ride up that section of parkour for us if needs be, to go and check that he's okay.
And although these races are self-supported and there's an emphasis on the self-sufficiency of the riders, there is a point where safety comes into play, right? We don't just ignore everyone and let them fend for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Like everyone is of course responsible for their own safety, and if they did get into a situation, we may well be hours away. So I'm not too concerned for his safety, because I know that stretch of route, while it is remote, it's not dangerous, it's not precipitous. I'm sure he's absolutely fine, but we just want to make sure that everyone's okay before we move on.
The team in control car 2 leave Skoda in search of riders. They head to the town of Latch, where they run into Urs Manhart, cap 36.
So we've just tracked down Urs Manhart in Latch, in the middle of a market. It's absolutely dripping with rain. You can probably hear the sound of the water dripping down off the tarpaulins, which are stretched over the market. We've got secondhand shoes, we've got secondhand clothes, we've got a river running down the middle of the street. We've got old men playing dominoes and birds in cages. And in the middle of it all is Urs Manhart with his lovely, shiny, slightly muddy, sour bike with absolutely no brake pads. And he's found a bloke who has a sort of He's found a bloke who has a sort of, I don't know, bits and bobs shop. He's got motorbike tyres, he's got motorbike helmets, he's got this big fish tank where there's a cucumber and half an apple floating around. And now Urs has him trying to source some brake pads from Tirana for him, so we'll have to see how that goes.
Just if he can organise someone who brings brake pads from Tirana to here. That would be great.
You don't have a tire.
I'm in a bicycle race.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's why I'm very stressed.
Okay.
I apologize. Okay. I apologize for being stressed. Okay. And it's there is a different part.
Yes.
And it has to be the one I need.
Yes, yes.
It's precisely this part.
Yes, I know. But,
and there are other shapes that will not work at all, so it has to be this shape. Earlier I had...
Your bike, this person, your bike repairing in Tirana, because here is not product.
No, I don't need repair. Okay. I only need pads. I only need material.
Do material, so you can see the spray.
The fish at the bike stop are still in their element, so I wish to go back to my element too.
The fish in this quite murky-looking tank are eating a cucumber and half an apple. I hope you've at least found better food this morning.
Well, with apple and cucumber, I'm totally fine. There's nothing wrong. Also, to have a change from Snickers and other space food. Well, that's... yeah.
Andrew also finds Frida Baku, Cap 19.
It has been a tough day.
Yeah, what's happened?
Well, it rained cats and dogs. Yesterday and today was rather hard. And all night long, and when I came down, it poured as hell. So I'm a little bit wet.
You look a little bit wet, you look a little bit mud-splattered.
Yes, I am.
But you've got a big smile on your face and you've got an ice cream in your hand, so life can't be all bad.
Well, it was a crazy day. And it was going up and down, then raining again. And today it was not so bad because it was not so cold. But yesterday it was really cold. At the first mountain, that 1,700 meters, I think, it was really cold, with gloves, without gloves, with overshoes, without, it that did not really change anything. So it was really cold. But then, this night, I wanted to go, and I had the plan to come until here, but it was not possible. So at 12, I decided to sleep somewhere in the mountains. I used my BV, I slept in the rain. But it worked fine. I'm not so unhappy. The sleeping bag is still somehow dry.
In Control Car 1, Tom has an update on Michael Fedora, Cap 29, and it's good news.
Last night and this morning, we were just monitoring the situation of Michael Fedora, and he got back going this morning, kind of like mid-morning, about 11 o'clock, and he's now heading back to the finish line to kind of join in the festivities and, again, like just share all of his stories with everyone. So great that he's okay. There was nothing to worry about there. Unfortunately, Oliver Neumann, cap number 31, has had to scratch today. We think because of a problem with one of his cleats, and we actually saw him from the control car on our way back to Škoda today on a long road descent on a big wide road. That was once he'd left the course, so he decided to scratch, and then he was on his way down to Tirana, so he might be staying there tonight. He might have been making his way back up to Škoda on a train or a bus, so he might be arriving this evening. We don't know yet, but once we do, we'll have a chat with him and find out why he scratched. But it's a real shame because it's his second go at this. He was here last year and had to scratch. He made it a lot further this year, but it felt like he was within touching distance of the finish. And it's for such a tiny thing, you know, like an SPD cleat, such a tiny part of the whole mechanism of the race, that it's just so devastating that something so small could bring the whole thing to an end.
One of the features of this year's accursed race has been the changing weather conditions. Today's meteorological challenge, rain. In Latch, Andrew speaks to Joss Ridley, Cap 25.
Yeah, I'm alright. Yeah, just, tired. Tired of the rain. Everything is soaked. Phone won't work, won't charge. But it's hard enough, I reckon, in the dry, but in the wet, just adds an extra frisson to the whole thing, I think. Yeah.
Tough conditions out there, for sure.
Yeah, just really heavy rain as well, so, you know, it's hard to get going. Unfortunately, it stopped raining. Well, it rained really hard this morning. I was in a calf with Spike, but it fortunately stopped a bit after that. But it's just, everything's so wet, just everything is wet, so it just makes life hard. I slept in a loo last night, and then it started raining and the water started coming in under the door. Is that, fuck's sake? So, yeah. Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, it's great. Oh, almost there.
Yeah, you're on the home straight now.
170, yeah.
Then after that, you can give your bike a wash and have a lie down.
Few riders complete a race like the Accursed without having difficult moments where the easiest option is to scratch, to stop cycling. For the second time in the last couple of days, Cap 34 Spike Morris has considered calling it a day. And yet, he's still out there, still turning those pedals.
A mix of feelings. I actually came here to scratch, and now I feel really good, so I'm going to try it.
You came here to scratch?
Well, you have to get down the mountain a little bit, don't you? You can decide you've scratched, but you still have to get off the hill.
What drove you to thoughts of scratch and latch?
I don't know. I just had no strength left at all, no power. I guess I maybe just bonked, maybe just ran out of food, but it just wasn't happening, and just felt so depressing. And then the physical stuff went first, and then the mental stuff collapsed. Yeah, I just wanted it all to end, I wanted to stop, basically. But then I found a cafe, and then just like hours... A few hours after that cafe, I guess it maybe just all came back online. It's funny.
So what are you looking for in here? What are you hoping to get hold of? Any food cravings?
A bunch of junk. I'm going to eat something proper, though, as well. I'm going to get snacks on the road, but then I think I've been living off sugar and M&Ms, and it's such a sharp up and down. It's been a bad strategy. So I think take the time to eat pizza would be a good thing for me, yeah.
At the start of the day, Joep van Luyt, Cap 22, was all set to continue riding a consistent pace and comfortably make it to Škoda for a general classification finish. But something hasn't quite gone to plan.
And another curiosity from today was Cap number 23, Joep van Luyt, and he left the course inexplicably, really. There was no telltale signs of anything happening in terms of like a mechanical. He wasn't hanging around in the same spot for a long time, like he was in any kind of trouble in trying to resolve a situation. He literally just took a turn off the course and cut off like a big corner of the actual race route. And that was around a town called Bulkiza, which is just before the route kind of swings round to start heading west. And yeah, he missed out a section of about 35 or 40 kilometres. And then just looking at the tracker now, I can see that he's also left the route at Bastan Moritz, which is the summit of kind of a smallish mountain, and he looks like he's descending now on the same road that we saw Oliver descending on earlier on today. So, I mean, we're not totally sure what has happened to Joep, but he's certainly not completing the race route now, and it looks like he might be also heading down to Tirana.
Late afternoon, and Alain Rumpf, Cap number 8, arrives back in Škoda to complete our top 10 riders at this second edition of the Accursed. Tom tries to speak to him as he crosses the finish line, but there is one important call to make first.
Great ride.
Can I give a call to my wife first?
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely.
Can we get you a beer?
First the call, second the beer.
Then the interview.
So I'm not alone, just so that you know. He said to keep it clean. I said I do my best, but I'm not sure about you. Hey Ben. Hey Ben, ça va? Yeah. Okay. The battery is very low, so my battery too. But maybe the phone will die before me. Okay. All right, just wanted to have a little chat with you guys at the finish. Okay, I love you.
Congratulations.
Thank
you're
you.
Alive.
I am.
You made it. I did it.
Yeah. And I'll soon be back.
Call us back.
Yeah, I will soon be back home. And I love you guys. Thank you for letting me do this.
You're welcome. For a while.
Yeah, okay, now I know. Next one is TCR with Ben when he's 18.
Right.
Okay? You have 9 years to train, Ben. And I have 9 years to try and stay fit.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Okay. Hey, we speak later. I love you. Bye.
Back. Bye.
So you're glad you came to the Balkans?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, again, TCR gave me a glimpse of it, and I did this race to be back, and that was a full immersion this time. Now I want to learn about these countries, the geography, the history, the people, you know, because I've seen the diversity, you know, like Kosovo was completely different from Albania and Montenegro and Bosnia and religions. What were these countries like in former Yugoslavia, 19th century? The train, you know, the railway line. I want to know what it is, you know. And I want to bring my family now. You know, those places. I want to hang out with them here. And but I also see what you mean by showing that you can, you know, bring sustainable tourism here, because you can see that tourism is coming, you know, like you have these places like in the you know, the section to Peshkopi before the last big climb. I thought there would be nothing, but then suddenly I get to this place with so many constructions and hotels and stuff, and within 1 year or two it's going to be a big holiday resort, and it's going to be a completely different experience. So I think it's great that Albania is now, you know, investing in tourism, because it's going to help the local economy greatly and improve the life of people. But hopefully it will be done in a sustainable way, and what I have experienced this year, you know, can still be experienced in 1 year, 5 year, or 10 years, you know.
Tomorrow will be the final day of this edition of the Accursed Race. The full media team are now back in Škoda, waiting for the final riders to arrive at the travel hostel. Here's Tom to sum up the atmosphere.
It's 8 p.m. here, and the light's just starting to fade. It's quite cool, actually. It's probably maybe 14 or 15 degrees. And the hostel is a nice little atmosphere tonight. We have a small group of riders who are all sitting around a big table outside in front of the hostel, and they're having some like makeshift food that they've prepared in the little kitchen in the hostel. And there's just that unique sort of post-race atmosphere where people almost seem to have like an infinite amount of things to talk about with each other, and there's just a very effortless, constant flow of chat and reminiscing about experiences in a kind of nice hazy post-race glow.
Join us in our final episode, where we'll get more stories from those riders who are still out on the trails and hoping to arrive before the final cutoff for general classification. If possible, they will all want to make it with plenty of time to spare, so they can join everyone else for celebratory drinks and storytelling at the all-important finishers party. You can read our daily race reports from the trails and get updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Albion and Ride with GPS.